In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Today is one of those days where I get to break the rules of homiletics. Why? Because I say so. And give you two homilies rather than one. The first of which is, I could not pass up in the Gospel, where we have that line, call no man Father. Our Protestant friends get really bent out of shape over this. They go, oh, you Catholics, you call your priest Father. Didn't you know the Bible told you not to do that? In fact, when I was in the Air Force, one of the Protestant chaplains, a very good fellow, by the way, always called me Brother Eric, because he would call no man Father. He was being true to his understanding, and I respect that, even though his understanding is wrong. What Jesus is using here is hyperbole, his emphasis to get his point across. He's not saying call no one your teacher, otherwise what do you call the person who instructs you? Or no one your master, otherwise you couldn't tell karate class. You couldn't go to karate class. Your sensei would be very irate if you didn't call them by the right name. And what do you call your male parental unit? Father. The idea is to realize that any of these titles are derivative. Because why do we call a priest Father? Because he acts in persona Christi. He is our access to the Father. Why do you call a person teacher? Because they instruct, just as the Holy Spirit instructs, and so on and so forth. So don't be afraid to call people Father. In fact, once when I was, years ago, when at a different parish, someone said, can we call you by your first name? I said, of course you can call me Father. So yeah, there you go. Now, on to our first reading. This is a very interesting reading because, first of all, remember that according to the law of Moses, how would it determine whether you were Jewish? If your mother was Jewish. So, guess what? Ruth was a Moabite, and the Moabites were enemies of the people of Israel. And so she married not only one, but two Jewish guys. And any children that she would have had from them would not have been Jewish. So she married the son of Naomi, Ahimelech, and he died without giving her any children. And this also meant that Naomi didn't have a son to take care of her. So they moved back to Naomi's home. Now, Ruth could have stayed with her natural family, but instead, out of charity and love for Naomi, she went with him. She went to live with the people who are hereditary enemies of her people to take care of her mother-in-law. Now, also back in ancient times, there was no Social Security survival benefits. You know what Social Security survival benefits were in the ancient world? Kids. Kids would take care of you. That was part of the whole thing with the fourth commandment. Honor your father and your mother. You were obliged to take care of them when they got older. You were Social Security for them. Neither of these women had any Social Security, but the law of Moses made provisions for the poor, one of which was that when there was a harvest, you didn't strip the field clean. You didn't glean the field, which is the harvest after the harvest. That was left for the poor, so the poor could go into any field that they wanted after the harvest and take what was left over. And so this is what Ruth and Naomi were doing. They were gleaning the harvest. Now, Boaz, when he saw her, you would suppose also that it wasn't just that Boaz knew that Ruth was very good to Naomi. One would suspect that Boaz said, hey, she's kind of pretty too. But because of her charity, he gave her preferential gleaning. Said, you come right after my harvest workers and you can take whatever's left over. You get first dibs on the gleaning. And why? Again, because of the charity which Ruth showed to Naomi. And moreover, because of this, and probably because she was pretty, Boaz married Ruth. Now, guess what? Very important. Remember, how do you determine whether someone's Jewish? If their mother is Jewish. Now, it doesn't say here, and back then, the whole rules of converts, conversion, particularly regarding women, were a little bit more fuzzy than they were at the time of our Lord. But it doesn't say that she converted. Now, it does say that she was a God-fearer, that she respected God and his commandments and everything like that. But Obed, according to a strict understanding of the laws of Moses, was not Jewish. He would have had to be a convert. And yet from him came Jesse, and from Jesse came King David. So we have a really remarkable thing here. And one thing that underlies, you know, again, one of the things that's important to for us to think about, considering the events of the last little while, is that it really matters more who a person is than what they are. It matters what a person does or fails to do, rather than who their parents are, or how much stuff they have, or what nation they are from. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.